Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Good morning. Kale and Company News Live. We are January the 9th, Thursday, National Day of Mourning. City offices, government offices all shut down because of this national holiday that has been declared. We are sponsored this morning by the great Newtown Athletic Club, our big sponsor, where we will all be there. We hope you will be too, starting 6 a.m. That'll be Monday morning, January 20th for inauguration.
Right. The NAC.
Yeah, working with the fine people at the NAC on the TV situation. How we're going to get some big screen TVs in there for the for the inauguration.
Hey,
so, yeah,
it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So in our lot of news going on today in our area, we have volunteers with the American Red Cross from Pennsylvania and especially New Jersey. I know a group from New Jersey is going to California, heading to assist with the wildfire relief efforts there. So volunteers from, and I imagine this is across the country, this is happening, supplies, volunteers, people who heed that call. And so they're heading there to provide food, shelter, health services to those impacted by the fires. We know that tens of thousands of people are left homeless or they've been forced to evacuate, and many people learning that they've lost their homes. The numbers that I gave at 6 o'clock in the morning, here's the thing. They're saying well over 1,000 structures, mostly homes, have been destroyed. That is a very modest estimate. So I even contemplated, do I even give the number? Because they're saying that is an extremely modest estimate. More than 130,000 people under those evacuation orders. And that's just in the metropolitan area of Los Angeles. And so it's from the Pacific Coast, inland to Pasadena, many counties across, not just Los Angeles County, but many counties across there. As these fires continue to shift.
I would also like to know, beyond just some of the stats of how many fires there are, how many structures have been destroyed, and thankfully, you know, knock on wood, maybe we don't have anything more than 5 casualties. I'd love to know what the hospitals are like right now with smoke inhalation and breathing issues and upper respiratory issues.
They said the air quality there is like the worst it could be.
So think about who that affects. That affects the elderly, anybody with asthma, obviously, babies, young children, you know. So they're just saying it's like Amityville Horror. That get out, you know, that voice.
And I'm not really sure what the hospitals were like or what the you know the issues were with everything that's going around in the air pre wildfire. Right, I'm not sure how COVID looks in Los Angeles or the flu or RSV or the norovirus, but you take all of those respiratory issues, throw a wildfire on top of it, I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it truly is. So we'll continue to follow that one. We have closer to home, we have a boiler leak, unfortunately. You know, a lot of furnace problems this time of year. It's frigid out. And so this boiler leak, unfortunately, has forced the closure for 2 days of at least one middle school in our area. And this one's in Montgomery County. So it's closed actually for the rest of the week because of this pipe leak. And it led to a steam leak. So this is Cheltenham School District, Elkins Park It's in Elkins Park, the middle school there. So they're shut down today and tomorrow. Contractors are there on scene working, and they say they'll work to fix it so that school will be back open on Monday. But that's the real problem there. It leaked into the building ceilings, a stairwell, parts of the second floor hallway, the main lobby. So it's not only do they have to fix the actual pipe and repair that, but then there's a big mess to clean up. So hopefully they'll have it. School is expected to reopen again for regular, you know, classes next Monday, January 13th.
Boy.
I know, it's a bummer.
Seems like kids have been basically out of school for almost a month at this point. It's unbelievable.
We have road closures are finally have finally ended. This is Downingtown. After a lot of police activity, police in that area shutting down the roads, Chester County neighborhood shutting down those roads. They did release a statement, and that was late last night, explaining that officers had to respond to what they're calling a mental health crisis or emergency involving an individual with a firearm. And so it's West Lancaster Avenue between Viaduct and Brandywine Avs shut down in Downingtown there. Just an example of, you know, the mental health crisis. So they brought in a special team. They had a command center there. The person then they said was, you know, they had to talk the person down essentially. And they're now in a hospital being treated for a mental health evaluation.
Wow. Yeah, it was probably threatening suicide and maybe even taking other people's lives with them.
That's my cop. I mean, you know, Nick, the thing about it is, when I report on something, and sometimes you may say, well, Dawn, why do you even report on that? You know, that happened last night. The road was shut down. Sometimes it's important to say what the police and the law enforcement and the community did right, because nobody was injured here.
Right.
They did all the protocols.
Yeah.
Kudos to them.
Tragedy averted.
Yep. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Not a self-harm, not a harm of anybody else.
Yep.
But does that cost all of us and all the taxpayers and everybody who was, you know, inconvenienced, rerouted, etc.? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So
do people actually give you guff for a story
sometimes,
like that being reported?
Yeah, why do you choose, you know, it happened last night.
Yeah.
It's over with. It's done.
Yeah.
But, I think sometimes, first of all, people wonder what the heck happened there.
Right.
With that road.
Yeah, yeah.
Was not an accident, etc. But then on the other hand, I would say it's because, you know, we don't talk enough about those situations that are averted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It still costs all of us.
Yes, it does.
We have a Philadelphia judge accused of, quote unquote, bias, is now getting a tongue lashing, if you will, by a state judicial board. But there will not be any sanctions against Philadelphia Common Pleas Court judge. This is Anne Marie Coyle. And so there aren't any charges, not any sanctions against her, but essentially I would say she received a lecture, if you will. So the Judicial Conduct Board dismissed the complaint that had alleged that the judge was showing bias, but they did caution Judge Coyle about her conduct. So the board, this was something that was a confidential decision. It actually happened before Christmas. It was mid-December. But now, and the Inquirer and other news agencies, through Freedom of Information requests, they had asked, like, what's going on here?
Biased judges. That's news to me. I thought judges were all impartial and fair.
What they're saying about Judge Coyle, the complaint was here that they said that Judge Coyle's sentences for probation violations were the harshest of any Philadelphia judge. So that they're saying she was too harsh and too strict.
Oh, now I actually like this judge. I'm a law and order guy. You're on probation. You're getting a second chance, Skippy. Yeah, if you don't follow the rules that your PO has put together, I'm going to hammer you. Don't come back in my court.
Now, I
defend the judge here.
The question I have here, it's an interesting story because in this case, there was a guy who was already out on probation, right? Then he's arrested during a raid, during a police and a narcotics raid.
Okay.
Presumably, began with an undercover situation. And so the drug charges eventually were thrown out. And so what happened here was Judge Coyle required the prosecutor under District Attorney Larry Krasner, required that the prosecutor put on a probation violation hearing anyway. So the judge, in the judge's opinion, says, you know, this guy, not for nothing, is already, I'm paraphrasing here, is already out on probation for something else, is now arrested during a drug raid. So the judge felt that this warranted a hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To say, let's know the details.
Yep.
Let's review this.
Yep.
The Krasner's, one of his ADAs, apparently pushed back on this. So there was a back and forth.
Yeah.
Then the judge essentially said, hey, ADA, assistant DA, I'm going to, this was under the threat of a contempt to say, I'm the judge. I'm saying you got to go through the hearing.
Yeah. Boy, I got to tell you, it would really suck if I ever would have actually finished law school and became a prosecutor and, you know, seeking justice and, you know, trying to help victims and get closure. Boy, you're an ADA and you're trying to work your way up and you're really a law and order staunch defender and you work for Larry Krasner. That would really suck. That was like back in the day when I would do sports and I would want to have fun on the show and the boss was like, you got to stick to the Eagles. I'm like, you know what? That's not the policies and the theories and the way I like to go about my business. It's a tough work environment. I wouldn't want to work for Larry Krasner if I was an ADA. You know, if you're prosecuting sexual assault or drug crimes or anything like that and you're working for a guy that gives everybody a slap on the wrist. I'd seek to be relocated. I'd get out of there. I'd go to Bucks County.
So in this case, Judge Coyle, she won re-election in 2023. She's in the court's civil division. And so the Inquirer had posted, because I'm looking at all the different media coverage on this, they had posted that there were more than 800 complaints against many different judges. So it's not an uncommon thing that usually, I think, in my experience, defendants complain about a judge.
Oh, of course.
In this case, the defense attorney as well as the assistant prosecutor.
Yeah.
They were the ones complaining because they felt that the judge was being too strict.
Okay.
So, I'm just trying to bring you some different stories what we did earlier today.
Oh, I like that story.
What else can I tell you about that's different? I already told you about the Pennsylvania State Police, the assistant teacher who's now out facing those charges in Chester and Allegheny counties. So we've got that going on today as we follow that one. And just the update as far as this stuck, there's a boat stuck in the Delaware River, basically.
Yeah.
They're trying to free this huge cargo ship that came from the Bahamas, ran aground in the middle of the Delaware River, and it's just north of the Ben Franklin Bridge, Philadelphia's Fishtown section, technically, between Penn Treaty Park, Petty Island. And so it's named Algoma Verity. And it's one of those self-unloading bulk carriers, huge, but it was headed for Fairless Hills, Bucks County, got stuck. And it got stuck last night, 7 o'clock last night.
Normally I say we're going to need a bigger boat, but now we might need a bigger river. That's unbelievable.
So Coast Guard tugboats, they're trying to, get it on its way. So we'll continue to watch that one for you as well this morning. So we are sponsored by Newtown Athletic Club. We sure hope you join us January 20th, bright and early. We start at 6 a.m., as Greg Stocker always says.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim Worthington. It's going to be, it's always an amazing venue.
Yep.
But it's go time for your fitness at the Newtown Athletic Club, or NAC, NAC, Bucks County. NAC offering a variety of family-friendly gym memberships to accommodate every stage of your life, from youth to active aging, young families to, yes, empty nesters. Schedule a visit. Just go to newtownathletic.com. By the way, they have amazing summer camps, and they have,
start thinking about that next summer.
Yeah, wonderful summer camps. They have huge slides for the kiddies, and they have like five pools out there. So, wow.
By the way, in case you weren't here yesterday, I said Linda Mitchell, who is running the festivities over there at the NAC for us when we do the live broadcast on MLK Day on January 20th. She goes, what you think your audience will show up? Well, like 7:30, 6 a.m. is kind of early. I'm like,
no. We start at 6 a.m. Yeah.
No. They're going to be here before we will.
That's right.
Like, they will be, this is an early rising audience. Yeah. So they will come. So prove me right.
Yeah.
Prove me right and show up right there bright and early at 6 o'clock.
Get out there and start tailgating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
So, and they'll be open today, even though it's a national day of mourning and federal offices are shut down. But for the day, this is obviously the day of former President Jimmy Carter's funeral in D.C. So it is technically a federal holiday, national day of mourning. That's why everything's shut down. But private, well, we're here. And many, you know, whether it's NAC, whether you want to go check them out, maybe have a membership. Most banks will remain open.
That's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice. What about the stock market? All the markets are going to be closed out of respect for President Carter. And it looks like, except for some of the schools where they have technical problems, like the boiler that, you know, this busted. But a lot of, I think most schools are open.
Yeah. Good.
To my knowledge.
These kids have had enough days off. Nobody goes to school. Nobody works.
Except us.
Send in Doge.
This is Kale & Company Newsline.
All right, Dawn. Thank you very much. Coming up next, what the Los Angeles mayor did not say, and also what the Board of Fire Commissioners in Los Angeles said specifically about being ill-equipped. We're back after this on Kale & Company.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Karen.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As the returning mayor of Los Angeles, who you will hear from, or in some semblance, in just a moment. But I do want to read this in further detail because there's just so much here with these wildfire stories. And I referenced earlier and gave you the headline of the Los Angeles Fire Department, the fire chief, Kristen Crowley, basically saying we were unprepared. I just want to read you the two paragraphs that she penned verbatim here. And this was to the Board of Fire Commissioners from the fire chief, Kristen Crowley. Subject, Los Angeles Fire Department service impacts on operations. And again, this was approved and written on December 17th. And they say, the Los Angeles City Fire Department, LAFD, is facing unprecedented operational challenges due to the elimination of critical civilian positions and a $7 million reduction in overtime variable staffing hours, or V hours for short. These budgetary reductions have adversely affected the department's ability to maintain core operations such as technology and communication infrastructure, payroll processing, training, fire prevention, and community education. In addition to these impacts, the reduction in V hours has severely limited the department's capacity to prepare for, train for, and respond to large-scale emergencies, including wildfires, earthquakes, hazardous material incidents, and large public events. Specialized programs and resources, such as air operations, tactical EMS units, disaster response, and community emergency response teams, CERT for short, which rely heavily on V hours, are now at risk of reduced effectiveness. This report provides an in-depth analysis of these cascading impacts, underscoring the critical need for resource restoration to ensure operational readiness, firefighter safety, and the delivery of high-quality public service. Translation: we got ungots. We got nothing. And when all hell breaks loose, we're doomed, right?
Yep.
And it happened 3 weeks later. Karen Bass was more focused on the inauguration of the president of Ghana. She returns to L.A. as her city is literally burning down. Clip K5, Phil. This was, I believe, from Sky News as a reporter grills her, and she had very little, if anything, to say at all.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
What is she doing?
Staring out into the runway of the airport. She's right by the little door where, like, you board the flight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Yeah, now she starts to walk back down the runway and head on out. The clip goes on and on, but we can end it right there. I mean, this is large mass scale ineptitude across the board. I mean, from the mayor to the governor. I mean, we got Gavin Newsom out there, the guy, you know, with his mask mandates. The one day you probably might want to throw a mask on so you don't breathe in too much smoke. He's out there with his little tight jeans looking like David Muir. He's got his hands in his back pocket. I mean, you know, we always say, and I like to use the phrase because it's true, elections have consequences. And look, none of us live in California. Maybe some of the people in this audience have some family history there or some friends and family out there. I have really no connection one way or the other. But I just feel bad in general, Dawn, for the California people that have to deal with this. But then there's the political side of, well, you know what? You keep voting for these people. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, other than elections do have consequences. You see it in Chicago. They got rid of Lori Lightfoot. They elected Brandon Johnson. He's worse, right? Yeah. Kathy Hochul, Eric Adams, New York, Illinois, California. It's the same thing. It's almost a copy and paste job of failed leadership and terrible policies.
But you have to wonder now. Here's one thing I'll say from the media standpoint. You saw with Gavin Newsom, you see with their mayor, that they're not really accustomed to being questioned by the media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, because Trump is putting these things out, even though it was a wimpy, wampy way of asking when, Greg played it earlier on, playing Gavin Newsom, being asked by Anderson Cooper, is like, well, I hate to even ask, Anderson Cooper said, but, you know, what about this and that? And then he allowed Newsom to kind of squiggle and wiggle away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, they're, for the first time in a long time, being held accountable.
Yeah.
At least the questions are being asked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's gotten to the point. And you think about, just go back the last 18 to 24 months. I mean, we're starting to see that pivot in the media where, you know, even Joe Biden's inability to perform his job duties being questioned by the New York Times, which usually carries his water, no pun intended here with the fire story. The Washington Post being a little more critical. CNN starting to try to, you know, at least, you know, put these, you know, Democrat politicians on the griddle and hold their feet to the fire. You know, MSNBC still does their thing. But I mean, it's to the point where, you know, and even like with Meta, with Mark Zuckerberg, it's so undeniable at this point, all the things that we have been pointing out as the downfall of the media, the downfall of Democrats, the policies, the censorship, the ineptitude with, you know, being able to provide basic public services that your tax dollars go to, that now they almost, and you almost don't want to give them any credit because, I mean, oh my God, we all see what's going on here. Like, you should be doing this. This is your job. I don't know really how Sky News typically operates, but that reporter there that was peppering Karen Bass with questions basically quoted Elon Musk saying, "You're incompetent at your job," right? Like that. I don't know. Is Sky News centrist? Are they left leaning? I really don't know. But I mean, that's about as strong of a statement being relayed from a reporter to a politician as you'll probably get in the mainstream media, so to speak.
And the question I have about management, as far as nobody else is really exploring this issue, that Trump was actually criticized back in the day when in his last administration, when he talked about forest management. Remember, he was in a Scandinavian country, I want to say with like a Danish, or I think it was Danish, but in any event, just
talking. Get me hungry, by the way. I could go for a Danish right
ooh,
now.
Ooh, nice little a peach Danish, yeah. Apple Danish. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, they were talking about forest management. And I was talking to somebody the other day who was saying that he used to work for John Deere. And they used to use the great, you know, American-made John Deere equipment. And he would sell to all across, you know, America, California, the West Coast, Oregon, Canada. And they manage the forest differently. So Trump is not wrong. I guess they've changed their philosophy because they say that by leaving all of the stuff that in the forest, the debris, the leaves or whatever, you let the little, I don't know, the little gophers or whatever, you let them kind of have a little home and mm-hmm. stay warm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the philosophy used to be that they would have not only the controlled burns, but they would actually clean up parts of the forest floor
right.
so that you didn't leave all the dry stuff laying around to become fodder for the fire.
Yeah. Let me give you just a couple of numbers here. This is I've got two stories in front of me with the L.A. fires that are going on, the New York Post and also FoxBusiness.com. FoxBusiness.com headline, Los Angeles mayor slashed fire budget last year and prioritized homeless population. We'll get to that, the latter half of that right there in just a moment. But they write, Los Angeles' budget in the spotlight as multiple wildfires rage around the city amidst revelations that Karen Bass slashed the fire department's budget last year while prioritizing spending on the city's homeless population. For the 2023-2024 fiscal year, Los Angeles, this is staggering, budgeted $837 million to the LA Fire Department, which was roughly 65% the size of the homeless budget of $1.3 billion. Karen Bass slashed the budget by more than $17 million. She originally proposed cutting it by $23 million. So think about it. It actually could be worse. $837,191,000 down to $819 million. And if you think about the homeless population, and you think about Gavin Newsom's political career, he has been running a political message for essentially 18 years now that he was going to clean up the homeless crisis in California, whether it was at the local level in Los Angeles or statewide now as the governor. So they are basically cutting off their nose to spite their face and then failing to address their face when they talk about homeless. Remember the Super Bowl a few years ago in Los Angeles at the new, I think it's SoFi Stadium, that homeless are just camped all around that stadium. And boy, but when the big game comes to Los Angeles, they can clean it up, right? the homeless, the migrant crisis in Eagle Pass, Texas. Remember, as all who was it that came to Texas from another country? I don't know if it was Zelensky or it might have been Xi. And then all of a sudden, those sidewalks got cleaned up. They can clean up the homeless crisis in this country quick, fast, and in a hurry if they really want to do it. And the fact that they've allocated almost 33% more money towards that in light of and in lieu of their fire prevention issues and still fail. So they're failing. It's like a double whammy failure. They've got homeless issues all over the place. My old boss that runs the San Francisco Odyssey Sports Station, and I know San Francisco is different than L.A., I mean, there's homeless people. He's always tweeting about it, how much of a disaster that city is. And then you look at Gavin Newsom statewide. You look at the fire issues in L.A. with Karen Bass. And you talk about, you know, financial, debacles. I mean, we, you know, Rand Paul just gave that report last week or 2 weeks ago about what the government wastes. I mean, there needs to be, you ought to send Elon and Vivek right out to California right now and figure out the amount of tax dollars that are just being squandered. I mean, you can't even afford to live anywhere. Nobody with a, quote, normal job can live in Pacific Palisades, Malibu, or any of these other ritzy, bougie communities. And this city is generating almost $1 billion a year to handle fires. And this happens? We need accountability. I mean, just send in Doge right now. We need a statewide Doge in California, because there's no way that this money is being utilized correctly. Which, if you go back to the Big Take clip that I played this morning, I mean, we're doing DEI with fires, conflict resolution, cultural assimilation. If you're working in a fire department, what do you really need to know about the other person you're next to? That they have your back, that they're going to be brave and go in and fight that fire and, you know, stand in harm's way with you to battle those flames? Do we really need diversity, equity, and inclusion and cultural training in our fire departments, much less our police departments or our military? We're being laughed at. When Trump says we're a joke, we really are. All because of 2020 and all these absurd policies that have been kicked to the can and kicked to the wayside by corporations, the latest being McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's just embarrassing. I know we'll get more into it with the cut sheet coming up, but that's pretty much all I got. I've spilled my bucket on this subject.
Well, you're talking about homelessness, and they were worried about homelessness. They were worried about spending more money, giving more money to their libraries in California, taking it away from the firefighters to the tune of, I said the number earlier, it's like anywhere between $17 to $18 million they cut.
Yeah.
Knowing, and even despite these warnings, I mean, now they've declared a state of emergency, so they get the federal money. So we're all paying, essentially, for their mismanagement.
And they're using it for libraries, you said?
Yeah.
And I'm
huge chunk, Nick, was diverted, if you will, almost the same amount of money they cut from the fire department. That's what they put into their libraries.
And I'm not anti-library by any stretch. I still like reading a newspaper physically, reading a book and holding what I'm reading. I'm not one of these people that, you know, reads on a Kindle or audiobooks. Like, that's not my thing. But I would think that I'm probably in the minority. I mean, how many people still utilize libraries in this digital technology age? That seems like a terrible investment to me. I don't know.
Well, and you've talked about the homeless issue. Now they've left some of the biggest movie stars on the planet homeless. So this homeless problem is making national news. And we're in Philadelphia. We're talking about what's going on, right?
Yep.
So now it's front and center, but you have some of the most famous, you know, movie stars in the world, you know, Steven Spielberg, Ben Affleck. Well, not that he's the most famous, but you have all of these, Michael Keaton, Diane Keaton, Tom Hanks, and Rita Wilson, all these people, Miley Cyrus, all these celebrities. They fled, their homes burned down. I know, Dennis Quaid was on yesterday on Fox being interviewed. Yeah. So now they have a new homeless problem with all of these very famous people whose homes burned down.
Yep.
And now they become the voice of, questioning, what the heck were you guys thinking?
Yep. 855-839-1210. If you would like to join the show, you can tweet us at 1210WPHT. Let the comments rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Coming up next, a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Back after this on Kale and Company.
And what's in the crock pot? That's my new addition. Hey, if your New Year's resolution to cook more and eat out less, you got to check out my friends at whatacrock.com. So let Whatacrock help you with their easy-to-cook, nutritious dinners. You just drop a meal into your slow cooker in the morning, go about your day, come home to a delicious dinner waiting for you. It's just simmering. The kitchen smells so good. No chopping, no slicing, searing, no other prep is required at all. No subscription is required to order. What a Crock's meals make an excellent gift for anybody who could just use some help in the kitchen or maybe that easy meal. For me, it's such a convenience. It's really a lifesaver for me. But let's say you have somebody in the family recovering from surgery or illness and you want to send them a little something. What about new parents? This is incredible because no matter where they are in the country, you go to whatacrock.com and send them some home-cooked meals. I always say they're home-cooked, just not by me. College students, or maybe to send somebody a condolence, a sorry for your loss type gift. Meals are delivered quickly. If you want them to be able to choose their own meals, you can do that too. Just give the gift of a What a Crock digital card. Make sure you use promo code WPHT so you get $10 off your order. Whatacrock.com, and you choose whatever. If you want to choose, I would recommend the meatballs are easy. They're the favorites by far. I hate making meatballs, but they're grandma's beef meatballs. They're huge and they're so tender and juicy and delicious. David loves those chicken parm meatballs. They're delicious, but inside there's that melted, delicious Parmesan cheese in the very center. They have great chilies, great soups, great appetizers, and then all the different meals. So just delicious. Whatacrock.com, code WPHT, $10 off your order, whatacrock.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Winter Ford. Winter Ford Cherry Hill makes servicing your Ford easy with their mobile service. Their trained technicians come for you Their trained technicians come to you for certain recalls, battery, filter, wiper replacement, and much more. Learn more and see their no-charge specials at winterford.com, winterford.com. Thank you, Winter Ford, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition. Sorry about that flub up there.
Did you at least make the shot in the can?
I did not, no. I didn't even try. I just threw it. I'm going to start this morning with comedian Adam Carolla. Well, you'd say, why would you start with comedian Adam Carolla? Because I want to go back to 8 years ago. This clip made the rounds yesterday. Okay. He was testifying before Congress, and he was talking about how when he was 19 years old, he wanted to become a Los Angeles firefighter.
Oh!
And apparently, even then, I don't know how old Adam Carolla is, but I would assume, you know, his late teenage years is going back a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Even then, they said, you're a white dude. I don't really know if we have any room for you.
Adam Carolla is 60.
Yeah. So this practice
would have been in the 80s.
This practice that we've been discussing for the last 2 hours here on this program has been going on for 30 years.
Oh, my God.
More.
Who knew that
40 years.
Who knew that wokeness was created when I was born?
Let's roll Adam Carolla, please.
Jeez, I want to talk about my white privilege so badly. I graduated North Hollywood High with a 1.7 GPA. I could not find a job. I walked to a fire station in North Hollywood. I was 19. I was living in the garage of my family home. My mom was on welfare and food stamps. And I said, can I get a job as a fireman? And they said, no, because you're not black, Hispanic, or a woman. We'll see in about 7 years. And I went to a construction site and dug ditches and picked up garbage for the next 7 years. I got a letter in the mail sent to my father's house saying, your time has come to do the written exam for the LA Fire Department. I took it. And I was standing in line, and I had a young woman of color standing behind me in line. And I said, just out of curiosity, when did you sign up to become a fireman? Because I did it, or a person, 7 years ago. And she said, Wednesday. That is an example of my white privilege.
That is unbelievable. I mean, we're talking the 1980s, and they are basically doing DEI quota hires,
yep.
Which, again... You know, and I know, Dawn, you said yesterday, you know, with some stuff in New York that they get around it. But it's just, I just look at it from the most basic standpoint. Forget all the merit-based. It's just so discriminatory in nature. And no matter what profession you're in, I mean, my God, can you do the job? Are you good at your profession? This whole thing about, you know, who you sleep with and what your skin color is and what your gender is. Can you hack it, are you a hack? Right, that's what it comes down to. Adam Carolla, and this is Los Angeles.
That was Los Angeles. I mean, dude, you waited 7 years. Like, at least in Philadelphia or Chicago or New York, if you know somebody, you don't have to wait 7 years. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
I just think that it's an example of the fact that all of this is not new, but it's like a buildup. It's like the cumulative effect that we've all had the opportunity now to look at the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one hand, I will say, you know, in many professions, like he even slipped and said a fireman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, we do need to say, hey, women and whoever you are, if you're a woman, whatever your ethnicity, whatever, you should be able to apply for a job, and you should be able to get an equal shot. And so hopefully now, to Adam's point, we've had decades of this now, right? Mm-hmm. They were trying to do the right thing. Look at what's happening here, and look at the result of some levels of incompetence that have gone on, and that we all pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we've had all this time, and we know that everybody has the shot and everybody should have an equal shot, this should be, at this point now, mm-hmm. in the year 2025, I hope that things level out and that we say to each other, hey, you know, maybe you're not as physically strong or whatever, but maybe you're a better manager. Maybe mm-hmm. you, there's so many jobs out there. And I will also say this, particularly in fire management, law enforcement at every level. What about teaching?
Yeah.
They are crying for people to apply for all of these jobs.
Yeah. And not everybody is physically equipped to do certain professions, right? Mm-hmm. But to your point, you might not be physically fit to be an actual firefighter, but maybe you can be in management. Maybe you can be on the clerical side of things. It's like the same thing in sports, right? Well, I want to be a left tackle. Well, I'm sorry, you're 140 pounds. You're probably better equipped to be wide receiver, right?
Yep.
Like, and then in the workplace, and I hope you're right that we can move past all that in 2025, but I guarantee you there's a lot of people today at this very moment that have probably just applied for a job or have been given the results that they did not get the job. And they probably thought they were qualified for the job. They met the criteria. They checked off every prerequisite, whether it's, you know, a GPA, a degree, a resume, 13 years in this profession. But you know there are a lot of people, and rightfully so, because it's been pushed on us so much that there's going to be a lot of people out there that get rejected for jobs
yep.
simply because they didn't meet the criteria of a gender, a sexual orientation, or a race.
Yep.
And people are going to be pissed about that. And then you get the other people, well, you just have sour grapes. Well, maybe that person has sour grapes. Maybe that person really wasn't the best. But if they were the best and they just didn't get it because they didn't check off a box, it's just disheartening.
It is.
It is. What I hope happens is that we can all look at, you know, all of this and say to ourselves, just create, it's the word that Mayor Parker always uses, opportunity. You know, to create the opportunities for people, no matter who you are, no matter even what your physical strength level is. Mm-hmm. For me and my family, because a lot of my family members are firefighters, I would have loved to have been a firefighter. They would have teased me. You know what I mean? Like in my family, that's the great part about my family. I've been like, come on, really? But I do think there are plenty of jobs within each profession that if that's your dream, there's a position for you.
And
you
I
know
would,
what I mean?
Yeah. And in today's climate, politically, I would be a firefighter way before I'd be a police officer.
Well, that's just it. In Philadelphia right now, and even in the suburbs, it's a dangerous job.
It is.
It's more dangerous. And even the firefighters get shot. I mean, Nick, they get shot at.
I would rather fight fires than weaponize political prosecutors. Just me.
This clip, Nick, you discussed this earlier. I just want to play something here again. This is the Los Angeles Fire Department recently created its first DEI bureau. This is the assistant chief, Kristen Larson. She rakes in $400,000 a year by leading this bureau.
Wow.
What is her job? To root out bigoted firefighters.
Yes. Yes. It's a raging inferno of racism.
Cut 22, go. 22, Philip.
Cut 22.
There we go.
Catch 22.
I'm going to reach down and bring you up. And that's kind of something that stuck with me to this day.
Part of that work means speaking up for those who can't. Over the last few years, LAFD has dealt with a fair share of controversy. And Larson, not afraid to sound the alarm.
I chose to speak out pretty much by myself about the issues of sexism and racism within my department.
Oh, my God.
And the need for change. I don't think there's any question that our department is the best at fighting fires. We do it better than anybody in the world.
But
when it comes to the personnel side, we have some issues.
Yep.
And they're not insurmountable, but they need to be addressed and fixed to the best of everybody's ability.
I'm not sure, and I don't want to speak out of turn. If we have anybody in the firefighting community, please let me know. But I would venture to say there's probably not a lot of firefighter positions, even chief of the fire department, that make $400,000 per year. But somebody running a DEI program in Los Angeles is making almost a hat. Now, that doesn't go too far in Los Angeles.
I was just going to say, to be fair, 400 grand in L.A. is like 40 grand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my God, really? $400,000.
Yeah. It's for nothing. I think, honestly, guys, this is the most extreme case, but if you ask an African-American family, if there was a guy who wore a Klan robe on the weekend, but you know what, would come and save you from a fire if your house was on fire, I'm sure that family would say, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Just save my life. I don't care.
Yeah, probably right? 99 out of 100 would. Joy Reid wouldn't. She would rather just go down in flames, but everybody else probably would.
And does it, whatever these people do on their, if they're good firefighters, who cares?
Yes.
Who cares what they do in their personal life?
Yes.
Who cares what their beliefs are?
I agree.
Who cares if they're liberal, if they're conservative? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Just save my life. Save my home. Save my pets.
Hell, after the story we just talked about last week with Fox Sports in Los Angeles dealing with, sexual advances in the workplace, I would say you're probably better off allocating some money towards sexual misconduct in the workplace over sexism and or racism.
But yep.
That's just me. We want to grab a DEI call real
Absolutely.
Quick.
Absolutely.
John is in Northeast Philadelphia, and he experienced this in the 80s as well. John, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Good morning.
Hey, John.
I'm just kind of curious. You guys seem surprised that this stuff goes on, especially Dawn was saying in Philadelphia that really shouldn't happen, especially if you know somebody. My father, my uncle, my cousins were all cops. And I took the test in 81. I didn't get on until 87 due to affirmative action. And really, affirmative action, the DEI is just affirmative action on steroids.
Yeah.
But I got on in 87. But my classmates who happen to be African-American or Hispanic, they were on the set like the 75 to like 80 percentile. That's what they scored. While the whites scored in the 90s to the 95, Now, it was a little different back then. They weren't taking candidates who had had misdemeanors on their record, but still, they couldn't, in 6 years of affirmative action, they couldn't get enough qualified minority candidates to get on the job, so or to become, you know, to become cops. So I had to wait 6 years to get on until, you know, affirmative action ran its course.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been going on since, for me, in 1981, like Adam Carolla said.
Yep.
That's my white privilege. So,
wow.
And, you know, I thought that that was pretty telling, but it's been going on, and in the fire department, too, because I took the fire test as well. After I was told it's going to be a while, you know, for the
right.
because of affirmative action. So I did take the fire test.
Okay.
Right around the same time I got called for the fire test because I mean, the fire academy, because I scored right around the same as I did in the police test.
Okay.
So can you ask what the score was? Remember we were talking about the averages the other day. And so if your score was, let's say, even if your score was like a 95, but then a buddy or a lady, their score is an 85, they're still going to get ahead of you, right? Because it's they do a pool within a maybe a what would, do you remember what the scores were that they took of your friends?
Well, everybody in the class, and there were some guys from my neighborhood that were in my class. We were all in the anywhere from the 90 to the 95 percent. You know, percent. Mm-hmm. That's what we scored on the test. Now, obviously, any veteran that had taken the test and got a 95, they got 10 points. So, you know, they were bumped up. I don't know what it was for minorities. I'm sure it was, you know, I'm sure it was kind of similar. But we did kind of, you know, befriend some of the, you know, some of our classmates and who were minorities. And mm-hmm. they told us they got 77, 78, yeah. 80, wow. 81.
Yeah, I'm just a little surprised because if you think about it, and I just looked this up, some of the timelines of, you know, affirmative action over the years, over the decades in America. Yeah, you have a stretch from 1972 to about 1980 where there was a ton of debate about this. And then it kind of got reignited in the 90s. You had Supreme Court decisions in 2003 and 2016. And as we mentioned in the big take this morning, that SCOTUS ruled against affirmative action just 2 years ago. In 2023, I mean, certainly it seems like it was more prevalent, or at least I think the average person knew that it was a much bigger thing in universities and colleges with admission-based decisions. But I'm really starting to get the feeling, just based on some tweets and some calls, that this has probably not only been running amok in universities, but in the workplace for 4 or 5 decades as well, which is really ridiculous.
But the other day we were talking about this, but so I will just say to you, in my family and friends, and these are fire departments, I will say here in Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, the line was, if you're a white guy, you must study so hard, you got to get a 98. That was always, I remember my Uncle Don saying that. You know what I mean?
Almost perfect.
You got to have a 98. If you don't have a 98 and you just heard the call, you potentially will get beat out by somebody. I thought the pool was like 79
mm-hmm.
Plus. Yeah. But see, he said 77.
Yeah.
That they would reach down so that the pool was like a 30 point. Think about that.
Wow.
And so that's what we're talking about. So what are you doing? You're demeaning everybody, but you're basically lowering the standard. Mm-hmm. That's really what you're doing.
Yep.
Last night,
so lower quality workers.
Last night, this subject came up on CNN. Representative Jasmine Crockett was on the CNN panel with Scott Jennings.
Uh-oh, fireworks. Here we go.
Where Scott Jennings brought up this DEI situation in the L.A. Fire Department. Jasmine Crockett was having none of it. Roll it.
You might have recall a news story from last year. There was some interest in the fire departments and the firefighters in California. And the interest was that there were too many white men who were firefighters. And we need to have a program in California to make sure we don't have enough white men as firefighters. So we have budget cuts, and yet I'm wondering now, if your house is burning down, how much do you care what color the firefighters are?
You can respond, and then
listen. I am so tired. You know what? There was an article that just came out that said that actually the most educated demographic in this country right now is black women. So let me be clear. Because you are a woman, or because I know that some of the right has been sharing these photos of the fact that I believe that the fire chief may be a woman or something, that has nothing to do with it. We are looking at qualifications. What diversity, equity, and inclusion has always been about is saying, you know what? Open this up. Don't just look at the white men. Open it up and recognize that other people can be qualified. And the fact that we want to, at a time when people are dying, decide that a country of immigrants is failing or people are dying because the same very people that built this country, because the last time I checked, y'all didn't say that anything was wrong with the White House. And I can promise you, it was my ancestors that built the White House. So listen, if we have been good enough to build this country, we are good enough to serve and die overseas, we are good enough to serve in other ways. And the fact that people actually decide that they want to engage in public service, whether it's sitting in Congress or whether it's serving on the fire department or the police department, should not be an issue. The fact is, stop trying to act as if only white men are the ones that are capable. Because right now, you're sitting at a table with three very capable black women.
I'm not.
Here's the thing I'm just going to say to that, and this is an important point, that in the firefighters in my family and the cops in my family would tell you this, and that's what Adam Carolla was trying to say, that I, as a woman, you know, I'm good at a whole lot of things, but if I'm supposed to climb a ladder and rescue somebody, and think about this as well, not just the human rescue, but also think about the toll this takes and the insurance costs and the homes that you lose and all of that. It's a physical job.
Yep.
Whether it's a firefighter, whether it's in the military, whether it's a law enforcement, there are just some jobs that we hurt all of our whole society when we say, hey, no matter who you are, if you're a lady and you're 4'11", yep, you're equal to a big man who's 6'5".
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a powerhouse.
That's
not equal.
Yeah, and the reality is this. life changes, and reality changes when you go from being a child to becoming an adult. The whole participation trophy, and everybody gets to play in inning. Cold, hard fact of life. Some people get to the mountaintop. Some people achieve all of their dreams and goals. Others do not. That's just life. As my old man and mom would say, life's not fair. Get used to it, because when you're 18, the whole game changes. And the reality is this. When I look at this whole situation, it's actually the dumbest conversation of all time. And I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek because it's a very important topic. But just award the best people the position regardless of demographics. And I would say this, like, I wouldn't want to be hired if I score an 84 and somebody else got a 92. That person beat me by 8 points. They should get it. Work harder, work smarter, spend more time dedicating yourself to your craft. Like, this belief that you should be handed something in life is so not like, and I only look at it from my vantage point because that's all I can talk about. I mean, graduating college and being slapped in the face with reality that when I got hired in radio, I was offered $6.50 an hour. Like, I could have bitched and moaned and quit and said, well, I'll just go, I can't afford it. Like, well, you know what? It took 18 years for me to make good money. You know, and that was the choice I made. Like, all these people, like, just pay your dues.
I'll be honest, I can only speak for, like, my family and friends, but this lady is making it about talking about ethnicity.
Yeah.
It's not about ethnicity. It is about gender. I'm just being real here.
Oh, sure.
So nobody, I don't think anybody has a problem with the men doing the physical jobs, whether it's military, law enforcement, firefighter, like any of those physical jobs, because the men, you know, have the strength.
But here's the thing.
But the women do tend to do better on a written exam. Fine, then put them in a position where it's like managerial, where you're trying to figure out strategy, whatever. But to just say that the women have equal physical strength, that's just stupid.
I mean, if you're a female and you have to take certain physical fitness tests to be a police officer or a firefighter, and I don't know the specifics, but let's say you have to run a mile in under 9 minutes. Let's say you have to be able to bench press your body weight. You have to do 100 push-ups and X, Y, or Z. Well, if you fail in three of the four physical tests, Should we pass you?
Yeah, they've lowered the bar.
So we should push you through and lower the standards, which endangers the public?
That's what they did. But I'll also say something controversial. They also did it with cops because they lowered the, they had to lower the height. You know what I mean? Like it used to be, you had to be a certain height.
Right.
So whether you're a man or a woman, they're going to, you know what I mean? They've let in men who are, it could be the like 5'7 or whatever, because a woman's 5'7.
Yeah. What about the lack of water that is happening right now in Los Angeles to fight said fires? We played earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, in case you've just joined us. First of all, where the hell have you been?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Second of all, we start at 6 a.m.
That's so right.
We start at 6 a.m. You have to get here much earlier, much earlier. By the way, streaming live on YouTube. Get on over to YouTube, because in just a couple minutes, I'm going to play the video of David Muir, who's being called to the carpet, called on the carpet for his attire while he's out there broadcasting live from the fires in Los Angeles. But getting back to the water situation, Trump addressed this. Gavin Newsom then said, he's just playing politics. He's just playing politics. So is there, in fact, a water shortage? This is Cut 23. This is the fire captain when asked, how many fire hydrants in L.A. are full of water? You want to know what his answer is, guys?
Four.
Roll it.
We saw an apartment building engulfed in flames. I saw the fire engine pull up this afternoon. A fire captain have one of his firefighters attach a hose to a hydrant, and that hose didn't fill up, Alex. And I asked the captain, out of every 10 hydrants you attach to today, on average, how many are you getting full water from? He says, little to none. And it was at that point that really the whole crew stopped, looked up at this apartment building, and they realized there was nothing they could do except...
Except... Except what?
Except what? Watch it burn.
Oh, no.
Watch it burn. As of... So six, by 6 o'clock yesterday morning, when we went on the air, and I was reporting that mid-morning is when the winds peaked. We're expected to peak, according to the National Weather Service, to that 100 miles an hour. So by the time we went on the air, 6 a.m., 3 hours prior to that, the 1 million gallon water tanks that supply their hydrants, and that's just in Pacific Palisades, they were dry.
It's unbelievable.
So they started out the day, they didn't have a chance.
Nope, not a chance.
So they just had to watch it burn.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
Oh my goodness.
Colonel John brings up a great point. I mean, they're literally on the coast. There's literally a giant body of water right there.
And I believe the Pacific Ocean is the largest body of water on the planet.
Can't we just pump water from that?
Yeah. Well, actually, resident WizKid Sean Farish, who seems to know all these innocuous things, which I love about him, he said yesterday the issue with it is the saline, the salt.
Yes, I was just
going to
say that.
Apparently, yeah. I guess if you store it, it can corrode and rust and ruin some of the firefighter equipment. So I guess you'd have to take the, like, extract the salt out of it. I guess it's a whole process.
Yeah, but so two things. First of all, they have the powder that they were doing once the winds died down last night.
Yeah.
So oftentimes if there's not the wind, like we saw this in Jersey fairly recently, they get the chopper and they can do those water dumps and they can dump the water or dump that powder, that pink powder. Mm-hmm. The problem was they couldn't utilize the airplanes or choppers because obviously you had like tornado or hurricane force winds, so they couldn't do that. My point yesterday was, why not get big, I don't know, big, huge hoses or some kind of tubing?
Big hoses.
Get big old hoses.
Yeah.
Go it literally pump that cold water from the Pacific, use tugboats, Coast Guard, and pump water. In, you know, from the ocean in real time, at least you could wet down the parts that are you know, not on fire yet and stop the spread.
Yeah, for 15 days to flatten the curve.
Do you know what I mean?
I love big hose, by the way.
Big hose.
That's all my big hose.
You need men to man those big hoses.
I started off at 6:01 with this. Last night, ABC News anchor David Muir, broadcasting live from the LA fires, he received backlash after he was revealed to be wearing a clothes peg
on the back of his firefighter-style jacket to look better during the on-the-ground report. Now, if you guys know what I'm talking about, those yellow firefighter coats, you know what I mean? Like they're big and bulky. They're supposed to be that.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be there. Like, yeah. They're there for a reason.
Right.
Well, David Muir decided that he needed to look handsome. As he was in this natural disaster, and this disaster that's happening out in California. So he wears you have to go over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, where we broadcast live every day, beginning at 6 a.m. all day long. And you can watch along these videos. You can watch these videos along if you're sitting at your computer at work or your home today doing nothing. Pretending to work,
yeah.
You can follow along at home. So he has an ABC News emblem.
Well, at least he's supporting the brand.
On his coat. And it's like, it's almost, it almost looks tailored to his buff body.
Mm-hmm.
Called on the carpet for this. You have to watch this video. Roll it.
Good evening tonight from Pacific Palisades here in Southern California as multiple wildfires burn.
Look how handsome.
Look how he's trying to hold his shoulders and arms,
too. Los Angeles, a severe drought and fierce Santa Ana winds, some gusting up to 90 and 100 miles per hour.
Hair barely moves.
A deadly and horrific combination.
Good. A lot of product
turning
in
parts
there.
Of Los Angeles County into a hellscape tonight in just a matter of 24 hours. In fact, five major fires are now burning at this hour. We are in what's called Palisades Village right here. This is the town center of sorts where there's normally
I'm not sure he's really there. Is that, not, is that like a suit of photo he's posed back
there?
Away.
His there hair is. Oh, there's a pin. Yes, I see a clothes pin.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Make it tight.
From the ash.
Oh, my pecs are really pop.
Can you? At a time of day like this.
Can we freeze it on the clothespin?
Yeah, Phil, can you? There it is. Look at that. Look at that.
What a narcissistic asshat.
Look at that.
Really?
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say something.
What a
generally, he didn't do generally because you have wardrobe people in television.
Well, he probably told them to do it.
No, I doubt he did.
No,
I doubt they control your wardrobe. They do. They can completely control your wardrobe. He did. I will give it to him on this. The wardrobe people. He probably didn't even know it was there.
Oh no!
I'm serious.
How dare you?
He probably didn't.
No,
because. If you knew it was there and then you turned like that to show it.
No.
Because
he has to feel that.
Yeah.
No? Like
no.
It's like
no,
it's nice and snug on
no.
it.
No, I mean I think that they just like did. They cinched it and then usually they'll have like a actual clip, like much like a clip that you would use like for lighting.
Yeah.
It's a metal clip. But this is an actual wooden clothespin, which is hysterical.
You see what George Stephanopoulos and $15 million did to ABC? They can't even get that jerk off a jacket that fits. See what happens?
They got the wooden dollar store clothespin.
When you spew nonsense and you cost your employer $15 million.
I will defend him on this.
No.
The wardrobe people, I'm serious. They control your wardrobe. They have all your clothes. You wear something different to work. And so he put on that jacket. They cinched it in the back. I guarantee you he didn't even know it was there.
By the way, did you see the reports and the stories out there? This was, I think, right after Christmas before we came back around the beginning of the new year. Apparently, Stephanopoulos and Weir hate each other's
guts. That's been reported for years.
And now Jonathan Karl is...
Oh, yeah, he's got
right?
for
There's
his
a
job.
Feud there.
Yeah. Stephanopoulos is out soon. He's,
well, imagine,
he's 100% out.
All these people are taller than him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And David Muir, so beautiful.
David Muir looks like he should be coming on Days of Our Lives.
100%.
The guy is gorgeous. Let's just, you know, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, is he?
Yes.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
look at
bro.
Him. Look at him.
I'm super straight, and I'm telling you that is a handsome guy. That is a handsome guy.
But as Nancy May says, I'm going to hold the line here.
I mean, he has beautiful hair, beautiful skin, like beautiful. He works out. He probably has like three personal trainers.
Yeah.
If you're going to be at that, if you're going to be there, like just first of all, if you're going to wear that, man, like wear a big oversized one.
Yeah.
Right. Just to look right. like you belong a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You don't want to look like a scrawny, wimpy guy where it's like hanging off of you, like in Big.
But you also don't want to do the opposite, like Tommy Boy, fat.
Yeah.
And a little good.
But I just feel like that is just a bad.
I'm just blown away that in 94 mile an hour winds, his hair doesn't move.
Yeah, well.
And it just lifted slightly. They put him.
They put him so that the wind is blowing into the, you know, the air is blowing the right way. Yep. Look, and I'll be fair. First of all, he was a nightmare in that I'll never forgive him for the way that he and the other one, I forget her name, treated Trump during that horrible debate, that alleged debate that happened here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That was just a horrible, biased debate performance.
Total shame.
But on this, I'll defend him and say it's the wardrobe person. They put that there. He didn't know.
By the way, let me ask you this, because you would know as a former television reporter. Now, he is, I mean, I guess, I don't, do you call him a reporter? Is he an anchor, a host? I mean,
no, he's the anchor. Okay. He's the anchor.
Does he have, so they ask him to go out there. Could he reject it, saying, like, no, I'm not, like,
no,
I'm
not, you can't.
Okay.
No, he's anchoring live from there.
Right.
Now, he's not a reporter. He's not, they're putting him, his pretty little self, out there, but he's not known. Lester Holt earned his chops as a news reporter. That's why I worked with Lester in Chicago back in the day
in
at
the
CBS.
In the field.
Yes. So right. Lester Holt, for example, he started out as a reporter and then moved up as an anchor.
Okay.
David Meow was always beautiful. He was always in front of the camera. It's like the, if you remember the movie classic, Broadcast News,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. He's that guy who they you know, always knew would be in front of the camera. So he didn't earn his chops as a news reporter.
Wait, Jasmine Crockett gets a load of David Muir.
What about the, there's all these reports now recently of all of these homes now not having insurance because they live in these, you know, high risk areas. There's just a story recently. It's not just California. They're Texas, all these places, Florida, where there's high, you know, weather, natural disaster type weather mm-hmm. Occurrences. People are just like, insurance companies are like, no, if you want to live there, feel free.
Yeah.
But we're not giving you insurance.
I just read about State Farm doing this.
So this is a woman who says her parents' fire insurance got canceled shortly before the fires ripped through Southern California. The woman said she's forced to defend the house herself. They got canceled from their fire insurance. They're 90 years old, and they lived in the house for 75 years. This is the news report courtesy of ABC 7 in California. Roll it.
I know I'm not supposed to be here, but this is my parents' home.
I know the feeling.
And they just lost. They got canceled from their fire insurance. So they're dealing with this. They're 90 years old. And through the state of California, because of this, they're 90 years old, that they've lived in this house for 75 years, and they've had the same insurance, and these insurance people decided to cancel their fire. And we're going through this, and it just happened, and they have no fire insurance. Thank you, California insurance companies, supporting residents who pay taxes and love California. And they wonder why people leave California.
And they wonder why people like Luigi Mangione does what he did, right? Like, I mean, look, you can hate the insurance industry. We've talked about this with the health side of things after the United Healthcare CEO was killed. You can hate State Farm. You can hate fire insurance. I get it. I despise the insurance industry, especially when they do this to good people that were, you know, paying towards a plan that now all of a sudden is no longer active, and then tragedy occurs. I don't know what's the solution. What do you do, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
By the way, just
certainly not killing CEOs.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, just to clarify, you weren't saying that. You were saying that was the next thing that you felt like she was going
to
say.
But you know, this topic is going to come back up again 100%. Because we've done we did the healthcare. Now we're going to do fire. And
here's the thing about this is that if you are in a highly cautious area. I don't know what else word to use, but if you're in an area where there's you know, there could be mudslides, there could be wildfires, there could be you would just assume that you were either going to be not insurable or you're gonna, like, it's kind of like,
or you're gonna pay a big premium.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like
Florida, California, you know, whether it's hurricane, earthquake, You know, Tennessee has a lot of tornadoes.
Yeah, are the insurance companies really doing anything? Like, if I've been in, you know, if I'm driving an old jalopy, you know, that hasn't passed inspection, and you know what I mean, like it's a danger to the road, like I'm probably not going to be able to get that car insured, or it's going to cost $1 million. So like what do you expect if you want to live in these areas? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's the risk reward of life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for your own safety and for the cost, right? Like, nobody's, that's the other thing. Like, you know, we talk about all this stuff in America. Oh, I hate Trump. I'm moving. I'm going to leave the country. Well, then leave. Nobody's forcing you to live in California or Florida. Well, I don't have the means to relocate. Okay. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's a valid point, but you know, it's a free country. Go yep. to where you want to go. Like, you always bust my chops. I talk about my goal is to retire and live in Florida. And you're like, you want to deal with all those hurricanes and storms? I'm like, yeah, I know the risk I'm taking.
But the truth is, I was looking up the numbers, and just within the past less than 2 years, the average homeowner's premiums went up an average of, what was the number, 21%.
Yep.
But think about PECO. Like, we in Pennsylvania pay on average 45% more for our energy than the rest of the nation.
Yep.
And if you think about inflation, usually the inflation during Bidenomics and whatnot, it's only reported, you know, year to year.
Yeah.
They don't really look at everything. So everything else has gone up, I don't know, depending on what it is, anywhere from 20 to 40+%.
Yeah.
Homeowners insurance. Think about what the insurance companies have to pay for. They have to pay for the lumber, everything is skyrocketed, mm-hmm. and the fuel costs too.
Oh, and by the way, too, when we talk about insurances, you know, at the retail level, why are products also more expensive? It costs more to insure. Mm-hmm. Why is it more to insure? Because of people that are looting and rioting and shoplifting in these absurd policies. Well, you could steal under $2,000 and we won't do anything. Yeah, I mean, theft and loss prevention and insurance for these big retail stores. No wonder why your product went from $3 to $4.87. It all factors in.
It also has to do with their regulations in the state, in California. Even Bill Maher, you know, complaining about the
yeah.
regulations.
Oh, it's horrendous.
The builders. But we have this here in Pennsylvania, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Last year, Allstate and State Farm stopped writing new policies in California.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers Insurance placed a cap on how many new policies they'd write in California. Another one, Safeco, dropped at least 1,000 policies in the Bay Area.
Yep.
So those companies are just saying, we're not going to do business in yep. California.
Yep. And then you have fraudsters out there that commit fraud, and
yep.
that costs the insurance companies, and they pass that cost on to you.
While Joe Biden was in California during a wildfire briefing, he announced the birth of his great-grandchild.
I'm serious. Think about it.
Roll it.
Good news is, I'm a great grandfather.
Yay!
Oh. Who's talking? Where am I?
And then
Gavin.
And then took no questions. There you go.
There he goes. He's a great G-pop now. Baby was born healthy and happy, which is good to hear. But you know what? The reality is, with all due respect, Mr. Biden, nobody gives a damn, right? The second biggest market, I'll just do it that way because I know how markets work. I mean, New York, market one. L.A. is market number two. The second biggest market in the country is literally burning to the ground. You think Gavin Newsom was like, man, I should have hit him with a steel chair when I had the chance months ago.
But think about what he's doing. He's doing what any like elderly person would say. Oh, my great-grandchild. This is Naomi Biden, the eldest daughter of Hunter Biden.
Will he acknowledge
birth.
Her?
Well, this
will
one
he
does.
Shut her out for 4 years?
But he's so out of touch. You know what I'm saying? It just shows you that this is how out of touch our president, he is still. I mean, remind ourselves that
days.
He's still the president. Yeah, he is. Somebody said, oh, they're going to find a way to blame Trump for this. No, Biden is the president.
Yep.
But Biden just is so out of touch, and in his little bubble, he's not even understanding that city is around him. Even Hunter Biden, the grandfather, his home burned that he's renting. But But the president just shows you he's not aware.
Still 11 days, by the way, for him to step down, resign, and elevate Kamala to president to be the first female of all time.
A reporter asked the LA fire chief if they have enough resources. Are they prepared? Can they fight all these fires? This is what the LA fire chief said. Roll it.
Were you guys prepared enough for this? Do we have enough resources to fight these fires?
No. LA County and all 29 fire departments in our county are not prepared for this type of widespread disaster. There are not enough firefighters in LA County to address four separate fires of this magnitude. We're doing the very best we can, but no, we don't have enough fire personnel in LA County between all of the departments to handle this.
Oh, can we, Phil? If you could you freeze the end where the sign language lady, her facial reaction all the way at the end? She let. That's the same reaction LA residents had when they realized they had no water.
It's like, what?
Oh, man.
The elections have consequences. You get what you vote for, and in very high priced areas, you get taxed to death, and you get nothing in return for it. That was amazing.
You played earlier LA Mayor Karen Bass, where she was asked by the Sky News reporter if it was appropriate for her to be in Ghana or wherever she was, rather than, you know, with her constituents. She gave a speech yesterday. This is Cut 16. And she was very awkward in this whole thing where she gave out. She's trying to give out a website, and she said, "You are like she didn't know what." Just fumbling around for things.
Oh, was she reading the teleprompter?
Roll this.
Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL.
URL.
Los Angeles together is how we will get through this.
Oh my!
Through the heroicism of our firefighters.
Heroicism. I mean, look, I butchered
the English. She's reading.
Yeah. Heroicism? I believe it's heroism.
First of all, her scriptwriter should have put the actual URL instead of, you know, the URL placeholder.
I mean, you thought the Allstate CEO last week had a bad script that he read.
Can you roll that one more time, Phil? I just want to hear that again.
Enter URL.
Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles together is how we will get through this. Through the heroicism of our firefighters, the vigilance.
Wow. I just opened up a browser on my laptop. Let me just type in URL and hit enter and see what happens. It just creates a Google default. Okay. Maybe a Google default could be a better mayor than Karen Bass. What does URL mean? You want to get, at least you could you throw in an HTTP ? Can I get one of those?
Well, the other piece of this is, where the heck are you going to have a computer? All the power's off. And plus that they're evacuated, hundreds of thousands of people are being told, leave your house.
A million people are out or without power.
Right?
And she's talking about URLs.
I would raise my hand. Madam Mayor, is that URL.gov? .com, .net, .org.
Jeez.
Do I have to do the www as well?
I think they have like a 211 you could call, but at least people have their cell phone, hopefully. But to say a website is, again, it's just simply that she's in a bubble, has no clue, she's reading a statement, doesn't feel their pain.
It is just when you when you see a politician like that, like politicians, they are a lot of them are very good at speaking and they're very good at, like, you know, relating to people.
Yeah.
And when you get one up there that just reads a script and just has no empathy and no.
Who does that remind you of, Greg?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Jim Kenney, remember?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Soulless, right? Empty suit.
That's what Greg was referring to.
I don't know. It's like job 101 is to, like, get out there.
What's worse?
Like, bite your lip. Feel your pain. I feel your pain.
What's worse, the scumbag weasel type like Gavin Newsom or the completely incompetent inept type like Karen Bass?
All of the above.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah,
exactly. I want to play one clip that's not this related in 1 second, but first I want to play, this is cut 21. So yesterday, last night actually, well, they were, Channel 7, ABC 7 out of Los Angeles was broadcast live of people trying to, you know, literally flee this area and to see the gridlock, because if you have ever been to Los Angeles, like it is, you can't walk in Los Angeles, like everybody drives, and the traffic out there is some of the worst in the world, and they have this traffic jam, this gridlock that happened yesterday while everybody's trying to flee. Roller.
LAPD, about four different Look cars just pulled up about 5 minutes ago to try to alleviate some of this gridlock coming down from the Hollywood Hills and from Runyon Canyon out into La Brea and on Franklin over to Highland standing. Because the issue is right now, as people are evacuating, there's not enough room for all these cars to go. You see it behind me going up the street here. That's why we got a couple police officers really just trying to direct traffic to get them to come down the street. We're standing safely in the street right now because no one is moving. And we turn around here, Will. This is Franklin right now, and you're looking right down La Brea with all the red lights. Those are people trying to get away from the fire as far away as possible. Now, keep in mind, just about 10 minutes ago when we spoke with you, we were physically on Franklin, maybe four or five blocks in that direction towards Highland. That was jam-packed going that direction as well. Folks here trying to get out really any way they can because of the evacuation. We see over and over again, check out behind me, guys with backpacks, with duffel bags, with suitcases. They're trying to get out of town. Some people, whether they're leaving hotels or leaving an apartment building.
You know, I got to say, I've been to, and I've gone out west a few times. We took a family trip to Hawaii in 2006. We did Vegas when we turned 21 in 2005. I've actually never stepped foot in the state of California. And
really?
I got to tell you, yeah. And I honestly, other than for a golf trip, because there's some amazing public courses out there, Torrey Pines in San Diego. Believe it or not, Pebble Beach is actually a public course. Amazing place visually. Other than that, and I don't even know if I would want to go out there with the costs and the traffic and the airport, LAX. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, JK13 brings up a really good point on the YouTube chat, is that, you know, with all these people without power, think about all the electric cars in Los Angeles, in California.
Good point.
Can you imagine if you're stuck because you have no power and your car is out of juice?
The grid.
Or whatever.
Yeah, well, they had the grid went down two summers ago in California, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and people were told, hey, sorry, yeah, you can't charge your electric vehicle.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You're SOL.
Yep.
But think about the lack of a plan. That they don't remember during the evacuations, I think, of Florida and even people from some of those like Sanibel Island and Captiva and that sort of thing. You have to have a plan.
Yep.
You have to say, okay, we're evacuating such and such areas between these hours. Mm-hmm. It's your time to go. And so we're going to clear, you know, get you out of here. And by the way, in Florida, during some of those evacuations, remember, they would tell people where there were hotels available or not available.
Yep.
Remember that whole thing?
Yep.
And so they had a game plan and everybody was coordinated. With this, it's like people are panicked and now they're rushing. Now you're creating a really dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. One more from this. This is, we're wondering, you know, all the lack of firefighters that Los Angeles has, you know, all the officials up there have admitted that they don't have enough firefighters. Hmm. Well,
I wonder why.
Do you guys remember a couple years ago when they literally terminated firefighters for not taking the COVID vaccine?
Yep.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Probably.
Roll it.
113 L.A. city firefighters have been suspended without pay for defying the city's vaccine mandate. In November, firefighters who had not submitted their vaccination status or requested an exemption were informed they would face suspension and termination. The policy requires city employees to be vaccinated by December 18th. The fire department says firefighters who continue to resist the mandate will be entered into the process of termination.
113 individuals, all of which were justified and proven right for not having to go through that charade.
not only should they be rehired, if they are willing to come back and work for those individuals, they should be given back pay and given a raise on top of their salary that they used to have, based on not just the cost of living, but because the fact that that was for... We saw this in the military. We saw this in police. I mean, it is no wonder why nobody can hit recruiting goals.
Yep.
Of all the branches of military, only one branch has hit a recruiting goal. I mean, my God, I told you the story constantly in Plymouth Meeting and Plymouth Township. They've got digital billboards by the Plymouth Meeting Mall recruiting police officers, running ads.
Yep.
Because they can't get people, and I wonder why.
Yep. Well, think about, and this is not just L.A., New York, Houston, Phoenix, Chicago, Philadelphia, all of these cities, and we have it here in Philadelphia, we still need to hire. We're down with firefighters. We need to hire more firefighters. And so COVID took a toll on not just the police force, where we're still down, but also our firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, that'll do it for round one of the cut sheet. We'll get to part two just under an hour from now. A big three on the way, and we're also going to get to the anti-social century. Very fascinating story. And also, speaking of that, a kind of a secondary story on socialization and the lack thereof and the skills that have been eroded over time. We'll get to that as well as we continue. It's Kale and Company, but first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about my favorite brand, Honda. That's right, the Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV. With a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time, you can cruise the roads worry-free, and it has three charging options that you can choose from, including the portable charging kit for when you're on the go, because we're all on the go these days. Wife, kids, dance, you name it. Sorry, that's my life. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Think about that, $229. It's 2025. You're going to get an SUV for $229 a month. How do you beat that? Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for more details, or shop online anytime at piazzahonda.com.
If your New Year's resolution is to cook more and eat out less, let my friends at whatacrock.com help with their easy-to-cook, nutritious dinners. All you have to do, just drop a meal into your slow cooker in the morning, go about your day, come home to a delicious dinner simmering, just waiting to be served. No chopping, no slicing, searing, or any other kind of prep required. No subscription required either. What a Crock's meals make a great gift for anybody who could use a little help or a lot of help in the kitchen, or maybe just an easy meal. People recovering from surgery, recovering from illness, new parents, college kids, college students. And what about a condolence gift, maybe a sorry for your loss gift? The meals are delivered very quickly. I love that about it, too, so you can do it kind of last minute. And if you want the person, the recipient that you're giving to, maybe you want them to choose their own meals. So you can do that, too. Give the gift of a What a Crock digital gift card. Make sure you use promo code WPHT. You get $10 off your order, whatacrock.com. So if you give that digital gift, and then they'll go to whatacrock.com, and they say, ooh, the old-fashioned pot roast, that looks good. Or what about the chicken pot pie stew, the uptown beef stew? My husband's favorite, definitely the grandma's homemade meatballs. They're yummy. Or the pulled chicken, pulled pork. Or you can choose a What a Crock Classics bundle, so you get a variety. The homemade chilies, whether the vegan, the bean, or the beef, they're all absolutely delicious. I can tell you that. WhatACrock.com, code WPHT, $10 off your order. Tell them Dolan sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.